Here we go. Here's Pastor May.
Yay. Hello, everyone. I miss you personally, seeing face to face. Wow. So who's here? Okay. I see faces and blank screens. All right. Good to be here, guys. Let me ask you, colleges?
Fun.
And exciting. Okay, let's do some attitude check. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, another attitude check.
It's all good.
And then the third attitude check.
Just the way I like it.
Live life with such good attitude, and you'll be A-okay. Hello, Alana. I haven't said hello to you for a while. Hey, which state are you at?
I'm in California.
Oh, you're in California. But where in California?
NorCal, close to Sacramento.
Oh, close to Sacramento. Say hello to Sacramento for me. Okay. All right. So let's see. Today's message title, Jeremy wanted me to, he just said, give me a message title. And I knew that he was expecting something like really like exotic.
Really?
nothing just like common, you know? He wanted something that's kind of catchy and meeting the needs and whatnot. But anyway, immediately what came to mind is the great adventure of life. So that just kind of popped into mind. And it's not the Six Flags. In the East Coast, Magic Mountain is called Six Flags, the great adventure. You know, so, but we're talking about the great adventure of our lives. So anyway, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your loving kindness and mercy that you have poured upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sinners separated from you, but because you loved us so much to come as a man and to suffer for us and to die for us, to pay with your body and blood the atoning sacrifice, a payment, a ransom to rescue us from death to life. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for a new life in Christ and amazing life adventure that awaits us. And Lord, thank you for blessing us first and foremost for our salvation, but how you want to redeem our lives, sanctify our lives to make it the greatest of adventure for your glory. So Lord, we look forward to getting a glimpse of that tonight. And would you bless my mouth and my heart as I preach, and I pray that you would bless our brothers and sisters' hearts. Give them a heart of a disciple, eager heart to learn and to do your will. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So good to be here. So anyway, as I was thinking about the great adventure of life, you know what? After being saved, experiencing new life and becoming a new creation in Jesus, you know, what awaits us? What awaits us? If you remember Jeremiah 29, 11. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans of welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and hope. So, you know, God is talking through Jeremiah to the Israelites that God has a great plan for their lives. Mm. I like to even change that a little bit to say great adventure for their lives. Great adventure for our lives. And I think the way God does that, after we are saved and he, you know, sanctifies us to thrust us into such a life, is living a life of faith, love, and hope. Living a life of faith, love, and hope. And somebody told me that Jeremy probably said I was going to talk about our theme, to worship God and to make Christ's love known. Is that right? You commented on that?
No.
No? Okay, anyway, Ed told me that. Oh. Well, maybe not. So, this is the why. Actually, why do we want to hope for a great adventure of life, living a life of faith, love, and hope? To worship God and to make Christ's love known. So that actually, our theme for the ministry is the why. Why we want to experience that. But also John 10:10 says, I came that they may have life and have it in abundantly. Have it abundantly. So thieves comes only to steal and kill and destroy, that Satan. But I came, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it in abundance, abundantly. So how many of you just want a half full life versus abundantly overflowing life? I mean, that's not even a question. Basically, when you ask little children, do you want this much or this much? What do they say? I want this much. So that's we are children. We want abundant life. And why would we settle for less? Why would we settle for less? We don't want to settle for less. And so, you know, God wants us to enjoy life in abundance, a great adventure of living a life of faith, love, and hope, and it, because he has a plan for each of our lives, plans for each of our lives, you know? And, you know, just a small example is just me. I was a double E electrical engineer, and then I experienced God, and suddenly I, my junior, senior, graduate years, I was just like abundantly enjoying the new life in Christ. And then he just directs me this way and that way. And here I am. I don't know how I got here, but here I am. And I like to think my life was quite a bit of an abundance or an adventure. Or when I think about one of the exciting things that I've done is like, VSED was pretty exciting. VSED, it started in 1989, as you know, the Ba Jionian, you know, the Tiananmen Square incident year, and we started that, and many people came, but there was one summer in 1993, I think 1992 or 93, we had over 100 people for VSED.
Oh, wow.
From East Coast and West Coast, from America, we had over 70-something people.
Crazy.
And 30 people joined from Korean Navigators.
Oh, wow.
We did a teamwork with the Korean Navigators, and we did China, three cities in China. And then we did three cities in Mongolia. And not three cities, three schools in Mongolia, three cities in China. And then we did three cities in Russia. Did you know that? We did Khabarovsk, Vladivostok, Sakhalin. Oh, do I sound Russian? Gagba Zavut, Minya Zavut Joseph. I don't know if that's Russian or not, but
yeah, it is.
It is Russian. Hey, I still remember. So, you know, what I do is I sent 100 people out there with the Korean Nav, so I had to really orient the Korean Navs for missions. And you know what I do is I carry a bag of money. because you know, we had to take traveler's check, and then I had to go cash it and give it to the team. And so I stopped by each of the schools in each of the city, one by one by one. So in between, I'm just getting my own tickets from one place to other, you know, Chinese. I didn't speak Chinese, but I somehow found out how to do it. And travel from one place to the other, three cities in China. And then I went to Mongolia and, you know, try to help the three schools that were teaching. And then I flew to Khabarovsk through Irkutsk. You from Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar, you go up to Irkutsk, then you fly to Khabarovsk. One time they ran out of fuel, so I had to sleep over one night at the airport.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to like Sakhalin. It's an island. They have like in August they just catch like salmon by the hand because the river is full of salmon. I missed that all the time, but our team, they enjoyed it. And then I flew down to Vladivostok, and they were supposed to wait for me, but they left because, you know, again, Russian planes ran out of fuel. And so it's like, it was a problem solving situation. So how do I find these guys? They're in a new school and I don't know where they are at. And but by God's grace, I kind of like used my hand and feet and got on a marshuka, you know, kind of like a marshuka. They have marshuka. And then I said, it's on top of this mountain, you know, like this funicular.
Oh, yeah.
It goes up here on the top. And then the Russian guy says, okay, go into the marshuka. And so I was the last one. He dropped me off at the top of the vehicular. From there, I knew where they stayed. So praise the Lord. Amazing adventure. I mean, that was just one summer. But I like to think that as a kind of a small picture of how God made this boring electrical engineer guy's life into a... exciting adventure in serving God. And so, but that's just me. But God, if you let God and you give yourself to a life of faith, love, and hope, then he wants to lead you to a great adventure of life. To know God and to make Christ's love known. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Understand better about how to experience this great adventure? First, way to experience this great adventure is adventure of faith obedience. Adventure of faith obedience. So, faith, love, and hope. Faith is one of the key prerequisites that will thrust us into a life of unknown, but a life of trusting and a life of excitement. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. You know, the chapter 11 is a hall of fame of men and women of faith. So let's just look briefly through Abraham, Sarah, and Moses. So how did they experience a great adventure of life? So first one, let's see. Let's have Kat, why don't you read the first passage from Hebrews 11:17. Okay, it's right on there somewhere.
Oh.
There you go. You can just read for us first about Abraham. So go for it.
Just the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Well, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, Hebrews 11:17.
So, you know, Abraham was the father of nations, and he became the forefather of everyone who is of the faith in Jesus Christ. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are called Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise in Galatians. So how did he become father of multitude of nation of faith? Well, it's because of faith, obedience. All these things is related to faith, related to obedience. So I'm attaching obedience to it. But it required faith to obey. So what was his first challenge of God's speaking to him? It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where it was going. So he was in Haran with his father, Terah. But Terah was an idol maker. His father was an idol maker. He was not he may have been a syncretist. He may have worshipped Yahweh, but he also was making, just idols of other gods. So we're not sure whether because of that reason, God said, leave your family from Haran, go to the land of Canaan, where you will receive an inheritance. Inheritance is essentially the blessing, the land, and the land of milk and honey, the blessing God has in store for us. But really, the symbol of Canaan is eternal life. So he wanted him to leave his home, where it was very secure, comfortable. His family was there. The protection was there. You know, back in those days, why do you live together with your family? Because when somebody kills you, somebody has to take vengeance. So family is a big protection. They don't wander into other towns or cities. But God said, leave your home. Go to the land of Canaan, which he did not know. That's why it keeps on highlighting here. Go to a place you will receive as an inheritance, but did not know where he was going. He knew the land of Canaan, but he didn't know what that was all about. So somehow, in order for him, the great adventure of God's plan for his life, he needed to leave the comfort zone, even the family, because it wouldn't help him to worship God. So to leave and to go to a place that he did not know about, but he knew God was commanding him and he was giving him a promise. So in order for him to leave home and to follow God to a place that he doesn't even know, it required him to surrender, you know, his attachment to home, the comfort and the protection, safety. But knowing that God wanted him to go to this land called Canaan, even though he did not know and there was no protection there, he decided to obey. And that required great faith in God and his promises. So in order to obey, we need to obviously receive a command. Command is from God, but we also need to trust God that what he commands, what he promises, he's going to fulfill. So for Abraham, because he took the chance to, you know, I mean, took this timely opportunity to leave home and to obey God in a timely manner, therefore, he became the father of multitude of nations, of people of faith. You know, if he said, like, oh, God, how about next year? No, we started building, some portion of our house. You know, we got some cattle or ox. We need to test them out. No, I'm busy with this or I'm busy with that. And so I can't obey you, God. And if he missed that opportunity, then he would not become the father of multitude of nation of faith. And he would not experience the great adventure of leaving home to discover new and amazing things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he didn't go, then all he had was his hometown that he knew about. And that may be okay, so if God's will then. But when to enjoy the great adventure of life, we need to obey God's voice by faith. By faith. And because he did that, countless number of people were blessed through his obedience. The multitude of nations that came out of him are people of faith, people of faith. You know, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, you know, just the land of Israel, even though they sinned and they were deported, but from there came Jesus. So because of Abraham's faith obedience, he experienced an amazing great adventure in life. He went down to Egypt, you know, became rich. He did all kinds of stuff. But most greatest blessing out of this adventure is being a blesser of faith to multitude of generation, to multitude of nations. Amen. Now, next person is Sarah. Abraham is pretty well known and we talk a lot about it, but what about Sarah? Well, Sarah says, I'll just read it. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. So for Sarah, you know, when she heard that angel telling Abraham, God is going to give you a child through Sarah. And then you know what Sarah did? Behind the tent, you know, she laughed. You know, and that was not cool. That's like having no faith. Angel said, that's what God said, but then she kind of laughed. Because she was 65 years old. It kind of makes sense. She was 65 years old. So she was beyond the childbearing age. But eventually, Sarah's faith grew to the place where she became like 70 years old and she doubted. So she 75 or 76, 11 years later, she was doubted. So she told Abraham, why don't you sleep with my servant Hagar? So came out Ishmael. So came out all the Arabs. So came out the enemies of God. But through that mistake, also as she grew older to 75, 80, 85, when she was 90, I think this is more close to when she got older, even less of a chance that she could bear a child. It says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age at 90 years of age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful. She trusted God is faithful of what he said, his promises. And so she experienced a great adventure of having a child at 90 years of age. Oh, man. Girls, would you like to have a great adventure of having a child at, you know, 60 years of age or 70 years of age? Well, I'm not sure if you want a child that late. But you know what? Even when you get married, sometimes some people cannot have a child. They try, but then they can't have a child. You know that I'm pretty good at getting answer prayer and helping people to conceive. I prayed to one person in this church and 2 weeks later she was conceived. I prayed for a couple of women in Beijing. What's her name? Rosa's two friends came, fourth floor Linda, and she brought her two friends and said, Pastor Man, would you pray for my friends to bear children? They were trying for a year and a half and they couldn't bear a child. So I pray for them. Then I forgot. But about a year later, Rosa said, oh, by the way, my two friends, they're both pregnant. They were pregnated and they're about to have children. So, oh my goodness, God answers prayer. But anyway, guys, it's faith. You know what faith I have? You know what passage I was praying? It's like, you know, was it Hannah? Hannah who had a child and offer, what's his name?
Samuel
to God. And there it says, God is the one who opens the womb. And so I said, oh, okay, that's the secret. God is the one who opens the womb for children. So I said, God, you are the Lord who opens the womb. Would you help them to conceive? Woo! Faith in the word of God. And it happened. So, man, you know, Sarah's experience of having a child 90 years of age is a great adventure. This is another kind of story. It's not with pregnancy, but one of our old, you know, when we were navigators, one of our older leader sister was about 34 and she was still not married. But I remember when she was 27, she came and said, yeah, brother, I don't want to wait for a man. I'm just going to serve the Lord. So she went with me to the East Coast and we did campus ministry for about seven years together. And when she was about 34, by that time she was kind of like, it's okay, I don't have to get married. I'm just going to serve the Lord. We had some kind of really women of faith back then, you know? You know, they started serving the Lord 27 and kept on going 34, and they just kept on serving the Lord, trusting if God wants them to get married, they'll get married. I had other sisters about that age, you know? But anyway, one day God connected her to another 34-year-old guy. It was pretty like respectable guy. And they connected and God blessed them and they got married. Oh my goodness. Because she said, brother, I don't want to wait for a man. I just want to serve the Lord. Ladies, is that your sentiment? I don't want to wait for a guy. I'm just going to serve the Lord. That is faith. That is faith. So don't get distracted with, I need to get hooked up. I need to get married. Nah. You keep your single-mindedness. Is that a pun or is that real? Single-mindedness. That's biblical. Yeah, single-minded. So... Sarah had a great adventure. Her name is Mary. She's actually my cousin. That's why she said brother. You know. She went with me to East Coast and 7 years she served and she blessed many women in the East Coast. Next, how about Moses? Moses, you know who Moses was, you know? He was the Prince of Egypt. You saw that cartoon video, right? Prince of Egypt. Or you read the Bible. Bible is in the Bible. So he was like picked up by a princess who took him on as a son and later on found out that he's a Jew. So when he found out he was a Jew, he had a choice. Whether to keep that silent and remain a prince and enjoy the passing pleasures of, you know, sin. I mean, passing pleasures that existed in Egypt, which is pretty much sin. So if he just decided to stay the prince of Egypt, he could enjoy all kinds of pleasures of sin. Respected as a prince, everybody at his bidding. You know, he could have really, you know, lived it up. Just imagine if you're the prince of Egypt, you know, next to the king, and you could command anything. Even though he could have enjoyed that, in the following verse it says he chose to consider, what is it? No, not that one. Somebody read Hebrews 11:26. Okay, Bing Chen, you could read 11:26.
He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward.
He considered the disgrace of Christ a greater value for the reward, you know? So it's interesting. You're talking about Moses in the Old Testament, but it's saying he chose to endure the disgrace of Christ, you know, reproach of Christ. So reproach of Christ is, if you are willing to suffer for anything that is glorifying to God, for God's people, to love and, you know, save people, that is a reproach of Christ. That's what Christ did. So Moses, he gave up. The faith was, even though I let go of this passing pleasures and my role as a prince, you know, and choose to side with the people of God and take on the reproach of Christ, you know, that is the true great adventure, rather than staying enjoying the passing pleasures life as a prince of Egypt. Sometimes we need to leave. We need to leave comfort zone like Abraham. We need to leave family to obey God. Sometimes we need to leave our privileged situations. Even whatever pleasures that we can enjoy in life, we need to be willing to give it up. Let it go. Even if it causes suffering of Christ in my life. So that may be the case. I mean, God kind of called me to let go of the electrical engineering. But, you know, I said, well, saving soul is much better than my electrical engineering. So it was not a big deal at the end. It's kind of giving up a privilege. But what is better, to enjoy the passing pleasures of this earth or to obey God by faith and enjoy the great adventure of life? You don't know the plan that God has for you unless you act in obedience by faith. That's the path of enjoying amazing, amazing plan that God could have for you. I don't even know that. You don't know that. But you know, we know for sure if God commands and we obey in a timely manner, not next year, way later, but in the timely manner when God speaks and you obey, that's to experience God's great adventure in a expedient way. Actually, Abraham started well, but along the way, he kind of like stumbled. That's why I think it took 25 years. If he would have obeyed in a timely manner like he started in other things, Isaac might have come earlier. But sometimes God does have like great adventure and a blessing ready for us, but it's like we're kind of dragging our feet and delaying and not doing it in a timely manner. So we need to time sensitive. Some obediences are now. God wants you to do now. So I hope we don't miss those opportunities. Okay, next one is great adventure, a faith obedience. Oh, wait a minute. Next one. Okay, I'll come back to the the fourth one later. Okay, I'll come back to that verse later. The next one is Great Adventure of Love Obedience. Love Obedience. Naomi and Ruth. Ruth is my love from old days. You know, I was in love with Ruth, guys. But where's my Ruth? Oh, well, I guess that was not God's plan for me. It's all good, just the way I like it. But I'm still in love with Ruth. Maybe it's too ideal. Maybe that's why I can't find my Ruth.
Oh, boy.
But the great adventure requires love obedience. Let somebody read this. Okay, let's have a... Okay, Juan, why don't you read Ruth? You could fall in love with Ruth, too.
Okay. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Ruth 1:15-18.
You know, Ruth and her husband and her two sons, because of a drought, they left the land of Israel, went to this land. What was the land here? Moab, land of Moab. They're just... they are like foreigners. Actually, they're not supposed to be there. But they did go there. And what happened was Naomi's husband died and her two sons died. And they left two daughter-in-law. Or what's her name? Orpah is one and the other is Ruth. So once the sons died, Naomi says, ladies, you know, I don't have any more son to give to you, so you should go back to your home. You know, Moab cities and where your parents are, go back, go back. And Orpah, she said, she cried together and then she just left. She just left. But somehow Ruth had greater love for Naomi and she probably said, Naomi's alone. Somebody has to help her. And like Orpah, she probably was tempted to, I don't have a husband. I should go back home. At least I'll have a family. But instead of going back to her family, which normal people would have done because family is more comfortable, safe, you know, at least I'll be loved by my family. But Ruth, instead of choosing that easier path, realizing Naomi is alone, and I believe that she had genuine love for her, that she refused to go. And Naomi told her, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you. Okay, wait a minute. I want Yvonne to say this because this is a Naomi is a woman. So I want a woman's voice here. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Don't urge me to leave you.
I mean, act like you're talking to, you know, Naomi.
He's saying more dramatic.
Dramatic.
Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.
Great. You enacted like Romeo and Juliet.
No, but that has a bad ending.
Oh, does it have bad ending? Right, right. So, wow, what a response of love and commitment. What a response of love and commitment. Had the choice to go back to my countrymen, my family, my environment of growth, you know, comfort zone. She could have gone back, but to say no and I want to go with you, Naomi, means she's going to a foreign land, somewhere she has not been before, and she doesn't know how people will treat her. There's like a lot of uncertainties, but she didn't think about that. She didn't calculate what cost she has to pay. All she knew was, I love Naomi and she's alone and I need to help her. I need to be with her. To the point, look at her statement. Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Oh my goodness. What a willingness to be a missionary. Your people will be my people, and your God, even your God, they had their own God, but your God will be my God. She is choosing to trust Yahweh God. I'm not sure whether she really knew about Yahweh God that much, but her decision, I'm not going to go back to my little gods, but I'm going to make your God, Yahweh, my God. So it's a huge commitment and change of allegiance that she chooses to do because she loves. She loves. This is a love obedience. And where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Wow. This is actually Christ's covenant love. It's the kind of covenant love that David and Jonathan had. Their love for each other was more than a love of a woman, the Bible says. Covenant love is a covenant commitment, love of Christ, love of Christ. Do you know that Christians are called to this covenant love? Because that's the way Jesus loved us, with a covenantal love. Jesus loved his people with covenant love by his blood. And we are to, it says, love as I loved you. So we are, Christians are called to love with this kind of covenant love. You know, towards, you know, one another, towards one another. Well, guys, you're stuck with each other. I'm afraid by God's sovereignty, you know, we are in a community of believers that, I don't know how you got here, but, you know, we're stuck. You know, how are we to love each other? Like Ruth's love. Towards Naomi. That's a pretty high calling. And, I mean, it's definitely a love that is like, oh my goodness, it's beyond what we see in the world. Do you see what I'm saying? But there's a cost to this love. That's why it's a love obedience is not easy either. There's a cost to it. For the sake of loving someone, you're willing to pay the cost. For her, it was her home and comfort and her people, you know, versus going to someplace she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So when we love each other, there will be a cost on my part, to deny myself or even to sacrifice something so that I could love another person. My preference, my plan, my property, my possession, I don't know what God may call us to love how, who. But when the Lord brings us sovereignly into an opportunity to love, we are called to Ruth-like covenant love obedience. Does that make sense? But what happened? What happened when she did this? She went to Israel. And you know what happened? She married one of the relatives of Naomi, Boaz. He was an older man. But, you know, in Jewish culture, there's a kind of a tradition where if a relative's man dies, you can redeem that widow if you're part of the relatives or part of the family. And she, you know, the story is amazing, right? So you should go read it. And she goes there, and everybody's kind of looking at Ruth in a very highly positive way, because she could have gone home, but she followed her mother-in-law to serve her and love her. And so she ends up she goes off to the field to pick up some grain. She happened to go to this man named Boaz's field. And he tries to protect her, you know, found favor in his eyes too, because she was a very, really a servant, sacrificial woman. So then she took some grain, went back home, told Naomi, and Naomi realized, Ruth, Boaz is our family. He can actually redeem you. So one day Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose woman you have worked, is a relative of ours. So now Naomi's trying to repay her. You know, I need to find a man for you. And Boaz, the field that you've been to, that man is our relative. He could redeem you. And so, you know, what she does is she goes and sleeps right below when he falls asleep. And I think that's kind of an invitation to say, I am yours, you know. So, but anyway, but she was being really humble because he was a little bit of age, you know, I say. And he was surprised that you could have had all the young men in Israel, but, you know, you have, this is something even greater than what you did with Naomi. Oh my goodness. So she becomes Boaz's wife and has children. And then comes Jesus through the line of Boaz and Naomi. Jesus came through Boaz and Ruth's, you know, marriage. Anyway, guys, another story. I think I told this. There's a sister named Christina. She was from Cal State LA, and she was part of our USC ministry. USC and Cal State LA, we were together. And so there was a guy named Sungjin, who was a PhD student at USC. And he was a rich guy, rich family son. You know, he's well taken care of. And so anyway, when she was about to graduate, she wanted to go to VSET. Before that, I said to her, hey, Christina, what do you think about Sungjin? And Christina goes, no, he's so from a rich person's family. He would not even look at me. And, you know, Koreans are pretty like sensitive about what socioeconomic level you're from, you know? And so I knew she liked him, you know? So I said, that's why I said, what do you think about Sungjin? And she was saying, she's trying to like deny and say, no, he wouldn't like me. You know, our family is not as rich as he is. And so she was saying that. And but anyway, so I left it at that. And I talked to Sungjin too, but he didn't have much interest actually at that time. But anyway, when she was to graduate, she had one more semester to go before she graduated. She needed to do the summer part to graduate. But as she prayed, she felt God led her to go to VSET. So she decided to push back the graduation another semester and went to VSET. And so, and then she did great. She's a bubbly girl, and she did really, she was a great teacher, and she, you know, really grew through at that time. But when she came back, suddenly Sungjin came to me and said, Pastor Min, or she said, Minhyo, you know, he's calls me big brother. I want to talk to you about Christina. What? What's going on here? You had no interest. and then he said, I'm kind of interested in Christina. Well, what happened? Well, you know, I saw her how she obeyed. You know, she prayed and she obeyed God to just go to VSET, and she pushed back a whole semester of her graduation. And I'm totally impressed by that. Wow. And I said, you know, your parents might not, you know, accept her because she's kind of like a common person compared to his family. And he said, it's okay, I'll make it work.
That's a Korean drama.
Yeah, it's like a Korean drama. So, but anyway, Sungjin pursued it. I gave him permission, and Sungjin pursued it, and they started dating, and they're, you know, falling in love with each other, and, you know, that was history, but Sungjin was committed to her, and he made it work. He stuck by her, and, you know, his parents' opposition in the initial part just went away. In fact, after they get married, you know, their family supported her to, she was a nurse, RN, but his family supported her to go to be a, what's the next one? Nurse practitioner. And so now she even have a higher degree. So she's kind of like, you know, matching the status. But anyway, they're living in Arizona, and the guy, Sungjin, works from American Express. He creates formulas for American Express so that they won't get cheated. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, isn't that an amazing story? But she just obeyed God, you know, to love souls, love obedience. And then what happened? Like Ruth, God hooked her up. God
opened his eyes.
You know, God opened his eyes. Okay, so that's not the reason why you should go to VSET. No. You should obey God, and God, you know, will take care of you. Okay, the third one is, if the first one was an adventure of faith obedience, that was adventure of love obedience. The last one is a adventure of obedient life of hope. Because of the hope, that we obey. Because of the hope of his promise being fulfilled, we obey. And because of the hope that at the end of our lives, then we're going to be with God. You know, as we continue to persevere in our faith, you know, your faith is tested and proven through the years, you know. And we need to persevere in our faith, to be faithful to the end. That proves that our faith is genuine. It's not works oriented, but if your faith is genuine, your faith will persevere to the end in obedience. So let's see, Stephen, you could read the next verse, 12, 1 through 2. Go ahead.
Sure. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance on the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews 12, 1-2.
So you know what could hinder our life of adventure? Is to be entangled by sin. What could hinder our life of adventure is to give ourselves the passing pleasures of sin. That could entangle us. If you're consumed by sin and just enjoying your selfishness and self-centeredness or self-life, then what you can make out of your life is definitely not anything like the great adventure God has in store for each of you. Mm. Amazing great adventure God has in store for you. As you set yourself free from the entanglement of sin and run with perseverance the race marked out for us, both general calling and specific unique calling for you. If we run the race, persevering for the mark set out for us, and fixing our eyes on Jesus, because he's the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, our faith obedience, love obedience, obedient life of hope. We need to persevere, fixing our eyes on Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, he perfects our faith. And you know how he did it? The next part says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne. So Jesus had his own great adventure of coming to earth and, you know, suffering, hardship, dying. Sometimes we might not think of that as a great adventure, but that's part of the great adventure. You know, amazing thing, plan God has for us. God's plan for Jesus is to, you know, allow him to die as an atoning sacrifice to pay for the ransom. Mm. That was his great adventure. Yeah. We have a great adventure of our own. Race marked out for us. But, you know, the reason why he was able to scorn the shame and persevere and finish his course that was marked out for him, because he set his eyes on the joy before him. So he knew that if he finishes his work on the cross, that means humanity, sin will be redeemed, will be paid for, atoned for. And countless many will be redeemed and saved. Their souls will be saved. So for Jesus is not even a question, but while he was suffering, he still kept looking at, wow, all these souls will be brought into the kingdom of God. Mm. So we need to think, when we follow Jesus, persevering in even difficulties along the way, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus first and copy Jesus, be a Jesus copycat. Copy Jesus, but also look forward to when I persevere in faith obedience, love obedience, and obedient life and hope, and persevering, then many others will benefit. Others benefiting is the joy set before us. Other people benefiting. You know, when I was in high school, and with my good friend, we were kind of talking at nighttime. You know, high school kids, senior year, you become philosophical. What is life? What is life? So let's say I go to college. I'm going to USC. You're going to MIT. So we're going to different places. So let's say we graduate. We get a job. Next, I'm sure we'll find a girl and we'll get married. What's next? Have kids, buy a house, you know, mingle with your family, and then it's time to die. What is that? People have been doing that for thousands of years, but is that all there is to life? Oh, I was pretty philosophical, wouldn't you think? I was even thinking, like, what is the use of repeating what people have been doing for thousands of years? So I was looking for purpose in life, purpose in life. Well, Jesus, you know, gives us an example what the purpose of life is. Purpose of life is to fall to the ground and die so that we can bless many others. Next verse says, John 12:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, or bears many seeds. So this is another version. So one seed is you. I mean, this is Jesus talking about himself. If I don't fall to the ground and die, then I remain alone. But if I die, I produce as many seeds.
Mm.
This is the purpose. This is the purpose. It's not only for me to live and not die. I don't want to die. I don't want to give myself to faith obedience. I don't want to give myself to love obedience. I don't want to give myself to obedient, persevering in hope. I just want to keep my life. Then you may remain as a single seed. But if you give yourself to obedient, faith obedience, love obedience, and obedient life of faith, of hope, then, and you fall to the ground and die to obey, then you produce many seeds. You'll bless many people. You know? Bless many people. So some of us are doing it or have been doing it. It doesn't seem like much, but this is the great adventure. You know, I would have never met Bing Chin if I didn't go out evangelizing. You know, I could have just been drinking boba and just chilling out in the sun.
You don't like boba.
Oh, I don't like boba. But I get coffee. I could be doing like going hanging out with double E's and go to an engineering company and work and, you know, make money. And, you know, I could have done all that. But, you know, I somehow, you know, stayed at USC. And then I walked around and I saw Bing Chin. Hey, and we had like a Bible study for a whole semester. At the end of that, he believed. And look at him. This guy's growing so like a bamboo. But the thing about bamboo is there's a testing and trial. If you pass the testing and trial, see? Don't forget the trial. The bamboos have little trial parts. But then you grow. So if you fall to the ground and die and make yourself available to obey by faith, obey by love, obey hoping, your life will be a great adventure. You know, I'm not sure if you'll go to four different countries, but God has a plan for your life. So just stay close to God and keep your eyes on Jesus, eyes fixed on Jesus. And whether, you know, your seasons are good and or difficult, you just persevere by faith, love, and hope. Amen. Last verse. Let's go back to that part that I missed. Why do we also do this? Is this one, right? Our last verse is, Abram said, for he was looking forward to the city with foundation whose architect and builder is God.
Mm.
Abraham was hoping to build his life, his city, not built by his own hand. He just simply wanted to obey God and let God be the architect and the builder of his life. Who's the architect of your life, people?
Mm.
Are you the architect saying, I'm going to make life this way, that way, and this way? Or are you following Jesus, God's voice, and by faith, love, and hope, and enjoying the great, great adventure and letting Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, build your life, that he would be the architect? So I always say about myself is, my life is not my own. Even my schedule today is determined by who I need to meet. So other people determine my schedule. So, but for sure, because God is calling me to love and serve, if I keep on following his way, he's architecting my life the way he wants. And so here I am. Who pushed me into the pool? I'm just swimming. But anyway, so may the Lord bless you with a heart of wanting to, you know, respond to God's call to live by faith, love, and hope. And each of you experience an exciting, great adventure in your life. for God's glory, to worship him, to make his love known. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this time and this word. And Lord, it's an eternal word. It has been true thousands of years ago, time of Jesus, and also today. And you have a plan for our lives, and you want to bless us with a life in abundance, a great adventure. But Lord, help us not to be entangled by sin, keeping us from following you and being used by you and enjoying this great adventure. Help us to give our faith obedience, love obedience, and obedient life of hope, persevering, keeping our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, for the joy set before us, how you will use us when we fall to the ground and die. Lord, for the joy of our lives being used for blessing many people and nations, generations, not because we are able, but because if we simply obey you, we trust that you will use us, resulting in great, amazing life. And so bless each of us with such an amazing life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.